Welcome to the Restlessness is a Gift podcast. Thank you guys for listening to this. Just me this week. First of all, I just want to say thank you. On April 25th, the book The Gift of Restlessness launched out into the world, and so many of you were a part of either reading it and leaving feedback or reviews. So many of you commented on social media posts. You did a bunch of stuff. You did a lot of great stuff to help this book come out into the world, and I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the fact that these little words that were written in my basement have come out into the world, and now they're having an impact on people, and I never know what to do with that. So for those of you who have read it and have said things, thank you. For those of you who are planning on it, thank you for doing that as well. I really appreciate that also. So it launched on April 25th, and it's available now at Bookshop, at Amazon, wherever you want to grab your books. And there's still an opportunity to have some extra things that you'll find that on my website as well, caseytigrett.com. So today's podcast is called Bless It, Then Leave It. Bless It, Then Leave It. I want to do a little experiment with you. I'm going to ask you to go back in time. And if you're not old enough to have done this, that's fine too. Or if some of these generational references aren't going to work for you, that's also fine, of course. But I want to do a little experiment. I'm asking you to go back in time to the moment where you had to clean out your childhood bedroom. I remember having to do that. My mom was selling the house where I'd spent my high school years, and so we were cleaning through some of the stuff. And I remembered getting into the closets and finding some of the things that were in there and pulling them out, and a lot of the things I needed to either get rid of or give away. And some of the things needed to just be left behind. They would be kept, but in someplace else, and they weren't going to go with me. I imagine you were like me. There were several times during that whole process where I said, why in the world did I keep that? But what I didn't say to any of those things were, oh, I hate this thing. This thing is evil. I hate it. I know I said, I don't need that anymore. I know I said, oh, this was a part of a different time in my life, and now it's not as important to me. And maybe you felt the same way. You didn't see those things as demonic or evil or things that you had to, you know, think negatively about. But there were things that just didn't belong anymore. So you got rid of the G.I. Joe figures and the aircraft. You got rid of Teddy Ruxpin. You got rid of the Barbies and the half dozen shoes that had no matches. You got rid of the Letterman jacket, the class ring, the pictures, the posters, all those things. You know. And maybe I dated myself there with some of those references. But pick your equivalent. You know what happened, and you did it. And the things that we left behind, the things I left behind or things I left to others, they still had value. They had a huge part of making me who I am today. They had a huge part in my life, and I could speak well of them. I could bless them, but I couldn't take them with me. There is a conflict that often comes between blessing something and leaving it behind, and that's what I want to talk about today. When I walk with people through times of deconstructing and rebuilding their faith, that scenario of blessing and leaving is what they're often wrestling with. How do I leave behind the things that I still truly love, but I can't take them with me? I can no longer either take them with me or I can't stay with them where they are. And so the questions are often like, do I have to condemn where I used to be, who I used to be, in order to move towards where I'm headed? Now, for people who are doing the work of deconstruction and reconstruction, a lot of times the critics that they have heard of deconstruction and reconstruction have reinforced that idea. And so it's kind of become a self-fulfilling prophecy. When somebody hears from a critic, you must hate your faith to want to leave it, then they start to think, maybe that's it. Maybe I do hate my faith. Maybe that is what's going on here. But they can't overcome that inner longing and invitation to leave something behind. And too often we conflate leaving the capital F faith that place of struggling and succeeding in life with the divine, that capital F, big F faith, for leaving the lowercase faith, which is like a specific form or a structure for navigating and understanding and embodying life with the divine. Capital F faith is the big faith. Lowercase faith is an expression of it. And so too often we say, oh, someone's leaving the faith, when they're not really. What they're leaving is a particular way of practicing it. Those two things are not the same. And there's a variety of different ways to talk about the scenario I'm describing here. The writer Ken Wilber describes this whole blessing leaving as transcend and include. We move past something, but we also include it so that we know what value it had. And we know it had meaning at one point, and it made us who we are. Scholar Walter Brueggemann talks about this in the context of the Psalms. He calls it orientation, disorientation, and reorientation, the blessing and the leaving. However we talk about it, the point is that our spiritual growth and maturity will always require us to leave behind our previous ways of thinking about God and about self and about others. And then we'll move on to different forms that'll take shape in us through a process of trial and error. We'll give it a go. It's like a laboratory experiment. We'll try some things. Some things will work out and some won't. It'll be a lot like a teenager trying to move into young adulthood. We'll begin to operate without the default settings we had. When that happens, there's always going to be hiccups. There's going to be abrasions. There's going to be fumbles. But if you and I are going to take on that journey in a generative and loving way, it means we have to learn the way of blessing the previous ways, the previous places where we've been, rather than cursing them. Now, I have a great deal of hope. I have a great deal of hope for a world where we learn to bless something and then leave it. There's a lot of hope in me for that. We might start with blessing our previous images of God for how they led us. It led us in a hopeful, towards hopeful reflection. Those ways of seeing God gave us foundations and footing that we stood on. And then we end up leaving them behind one day for new images that draw us further into the world of the divine. We might bless the ways we prayed in our youth. And that prayer in our youth and our exuberance, it might seem naive to us now, but without it, without those previous ways of doing it, our conversation with the divine would have never grown or emerged. And so we can bless those early prayers and know that we don't have to pray that way anymore. The point of contention here is that too many people see deconstruction of faith as leaving without blessing. And sometimes that does happen. I'm not saying it never happens, but sometimes people leave faith without blessing and instead offer curses. And maybe there's some emotional hurt there, that there's a reason behind that. But for most people I know who are deconstructing their faith, that are looking at their past traditions and their communities, sometimes they struggle because they only see people who never left, but they bless everything that we can no longer embrace. And so sometimes both the blessing and the leaving seems like a rejection. And one group offers another. The deconstructing folks, the leaving folks, and the staying folks offer a rejection to each other, rather than seeing this as just a natural part of what happens when we live life with the divine. And we experience this divide between blessing and leaving a lot in restless seasons, in those places where we're between where we cannot go back and where we have no idea how to move forward, between the spiritual and sometimes the literal home we know and love and the destination yet to come. That's when we feel unsettled and afraid and irritated. And a lot of times the blessing and the leaving brings that on. Now, I don't know everything about restless places, especially yours. I don't know everything about your restless place, and I'm not going to claim to. I know a little bit about the idea, and I know a bit about my own, but the one thing I am confident in is that if the restlessness is going to be valuable to us, if restlessness, if irritated and unsettled places are going to be valuable to us, it's going to require that we bless some things and then leave them behind. And so to walk through the wilderness of these in-between times of our spiritual journey means that we have to pack lightly. We can't take everything with us. There are things that simply no longer have use to us. When we're leaving something behind and heading for a future we cannot imagine. And what we leave behind does have value. Those previous places and practices and people and communities, they have value. And we can speak well of them for what they did to build us and make us who we are, but we can't take them with us. And so we bless them, and then we leave them. We speak well of them, and then we move to the next chapter. So today, what I'd love to do is invite you to consider with me a few questions. A few questions that might help us understand this whole blessing and leaving thing. The first one is this: what have we or you left behind that you have not blessed or that we have not blessed? Where has a past goodness, something that was rich and sweet and beautiful about our faith, been swept up into a story of hurt and misunderstanding and short-sightedness? Where have we hated what was because we could no longer live with it, not knowing that without that very movement, that very thing, we wouldn't be where we are? Without believing that God is the warrior God and knowing that that's the conversation before we know God as the compassionate and graceful and healing God. I'll be honest, for me, it took a long time. It took a long time to bless the habits of silence and inner focus from my early spiritual journey, even though I could no longer live with the fire and brimstone theology that turned my life with Jesus into a minute-by-minute moral contest for survival. It took me a long time to see the goodness in those previous ways. So what if today we were to speak well of the former ways of faith and the people who gave us our foundations? We don't have to bless abusers, that's not what I'm saying. In blessing our former ways of faith, we kind of sift through the dangerous folks to find the ones who just got swept up with the hurt, even though they were rarely the agents of it. Where have we left things behind that we have not blessed? Second question is, what have we blessed that we have not yet left behind? Maybe we today feel a weight of needing to move forward, the restlessness of it, and yet we can't see our way clear of this good thing. We feel and we're stuck in this comfortable cocoon of an idea or a practice or a community, and it's a very difficult thing to crack through. And yet, the Spirit of Jesus is whispering so quietly, do you feel that irritation? Do you sense that edge? Follow me, let's explore it, but just know you won't be coming back to this place again. Now, I've said this a bunch of times before. We will leave an idea, a theology, a doctrine, or a practice behind well before we leave the community who holds that idea behind, because the people really are more important than the theology or the idea to us. So what if you brought that good thing to mind and you just spoke a blessing over it and its safety and its comfort, and then just made the decision to leave for the far country that the divine is pointing you toward? So what have we blessed that we haven't left behind? The final thing is, what do we refuse to bless that we cannot for some reason leave behind? And this one might be the hardest. For some of us, we feel trapped, and we have, because of that, we've just succumbed to cynicism. What good will it do, we argue, for us to leave? And so we just stay. And in that case, we have no longer reached the point where the pain of staying here is greater than the unknown, mysterious journey our restlessness is calling us to pursue. Now, there are many I know who are in this space. And due to the cynicism and the anger they have, they double down on the beliefs and the practices that they actually hate. And they force them onto other people. And at the same time, they're cultivating this deep bitterness that will eventually surface in spiritual and a lot of times personal calamity. when we refuse to bless something and yet we can't leave it and we feel stuck inside of it, it creates this cycle of bitterness and bile that we were never intended to live in. And so a lot of times it leads to this explosion, or it doesn't. And some people live with that their entire lives. And that might actually be worse, because at least to blow up would allow us to rebuild. But to live in that state forever is just hell in the present. I mean, imagine holding to a belief and forcing it on another person, but hating it at the same time, knowing that it's not giving you life. And yet, it's almost like if I'm going down, I'm taking somebody down with me. In all of the above cases, in all three of these questions, you might see them in your own life, and however you see them in your own life, I just want you to know that the divine has not left you in the space between the blessing and the leaving. You are accompanied. You are not alone. And there is wisdom simmering just below the surface. There's wisdom in the conversations you're going to have about this. There's wisdom in the things that you will read about this. There is wisdom in the silence. There is wisdom in prayer. There is wisdom in nature. There is wisdom in just taking a good old-fashioned deep breath. There's wisdom in exercise, getting your body moving and getting your blood flowing. There's wisdom there for you, even in the midst of this blessing and leaving. And the journey ahead, it is beautiful and it's long and it often takes all that we have, but it is worth it. And let me recommend to you, it's best to take this journey with a spiritual director. Someone you trust, someone who can guide you, someone who can ask you the critical questions about what it means for you to bless it and then to leave it. And so just know today that you are welcomed to a simply stated but perilously conducted journey to bless something and then to leave it. And then one day arrive at a very, very good and brand new place of blessing. Thank you for listening to this, my friends. Thanks for, again, supporting the work that I've been doing. If you want to find more information about things like speaking and the book and other spiritual direction and one-on-one resources that I offer, you can find that on my website, kctigert.com. A big thank you to Robert Evans, my dear friend, for providing the music for the podcast. And may you today, may you bless and leave what needs to be blessed and left, and know that that is part of it. Be well, friends. We'll talk soon. Peace.